But like at the end of the day, I think the reason why I'm happier than most entrepreneurs is because A, I don't set unrealistic expectations for myself.
Okay.
It seems like every kid these days just wants to have like a $1 billion exit and wants to be like a Mark Zuckerberg, and they're putting so much pressure in their 20s, 21, 22, 23, as opposed to just working towards something bigger, building the foundation, maybe building another company after, build another one after, build a good network around you, and then maybe work towards that goal if you even want it in the first place.
All right, hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Life Like That. This is Nick Singh, I am your host. Thank you for tuning in. You know, I've been trying to get this interview out for a really long time, and I'm super excited that I'm releasing it, mainly because the interviews that I've released up until this point were all backdated, meaning that all the interviews that I released up until this point in time have been interviews that I did months ago, and I just have them in the archives, and I still have a bunch more in the archives that I'm looking forward to sharing. But this is one that I actually did a few weeks ago with a friend of mine named Manu Goswami. Manu Goswami is an entrepreneur, and he's incredibly young. He's 21 years old, and I just want to give you guys a little backstory as to who Manu Goswami is, and I hope that he doesn't mind me sharing some of these details. I feel like it's fine. I've done it 1,000 times before, but pretty much I think he started his first company when he was like 6 years old, and I know that sounds so dumb and stupid, but like he actually did. His dad is an engineer, and he said, Manu, I want to teach you how to be an engineer. If you want to go into that, I want you to learn young. So he said, what do you want to build? And Manu said, I want to build hovercrafts, dad. So his dad and him went out to the store and they bought like all the parts for hovercrafts, and I think that they built two together. And then Manu told me that he infamously turned around and sold those two hovercrafts to his friends at school. And from a really young age, he didn't consciously know it yet, but he didn't really like the engineering side of things, but he really loved sales. When he was 11, he decided that he was going to start a world fund at his school, or maybe that's when he was like 17. No, I apologize. When he was 11, he decided that he was going to participate in an entrepreneurial competition Canada-wide, so nationwide, that was built for 14 to 17 year olds. So when he first applied, they wouldn't even let him in. Like, it was strict, right? They wouldn't let an 11 year old who had a business, but he just kicked and bantered his way in, and out of 14 to 17 year olds, the 11 year old Manu Goswami placed second in the country, which is just insane. Moving forward into high school, when he is 17, he started a world fund for his high school to support entrepreneurs and their developing companies. And then when he is 18 years old, he graduated high school and created an app that's actually still available on the app market, centered around mental health, no cost, just a good social cause. And moving forward, he's decided that he wanted to start more companies. He became a speaker for the United Nations. That summer, he interned, and this is where it gets good, for the Barack Obama administration as a speechwriter, beating out 28-year-old Americans for the position, which is just incredible. And he also interned at NASA at the same summer, to give you some context. The next summer after that, he decided that he was going to continue building his company called Tektronix. He partnered with a few NBA players. I know, NBA players, but they loved what he was doing, obviously, because he has a great heart, a great soul, and a brilliant mind. And him and those NBA players actually went on to have an incredible market exit for $8.6 million. And at the age of 20 years old, Manu was a well-deserved, well-acclaimed millionaire, which is a dream of so many young people. But the money never seemed to motivate him. It was always starting a new business, which is exactly why he's on to his new routes of starting a company called TrueFan, which is actually already launched, which is an app developed to target your loyal, most influential, and trending followers. And I know you might not know what that means, but we go into a little bit in the actual interview. And I personally think, and I wouldn't say this if I didn't believe in it, that it is going to be a revolutionary app and platform. He has people on the platform right now like Under Armour, Nike, McDonald's, Target. I think Target's one of them, but forgive me if it's not, like the biggest multinational companies on the planet. He has influencers like Kevin Hart, Dwayne Wade, Casey Neistat, the list goes on, participating in his platform. So like, it has serious value, and to sit down and take an hour of his time was genuinely one of the most fun things I've done in a long time. And I gotta ask him a lot of the questions that were on my heart, because ever since I switched the brand of this show, I wanted it to really be centric around happiness and fulfillment. Yes, Manu's achieved a ton in his life, but I've also been around him long enough to know that he's genuinely a happy person. He's laughing all the time. He enjoys his life. He does things that a 21 year old would do. He doesn't rob himself of those experiences, which I think that so many people tend to do when they get into things like entrepreneurship or creation or any kind of desire that they're going for. They just become head down focused, and they achieve and they achieve and they achieve, but they forget to feel good, which is really the point of achieving in the first place. And when you feel good, you achieve so much more. So he's the definition of a hustler in combination with a really, really cool dude. So I think you're gonna enjoy this interview. We hit a lot of keystones and it was great. And just to give you guys a little preface, I did film it on my shotgun mic, so it might sound echoey at times, but I think that it'll be okay. I listened to it all in playback and I was able to listen to it quite fine. So I hope that you guys are too. And I will let you guys get into the show and enjoy this interview. And I hope that you do as nearly as much as I did. I hope that you enjoy it nearly as much as I enjoyed it. Without further ado, this is Life Like That. I am Nick Singh and enjoy the show.
All right, let's do it. Are you ready, Rob?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Set it. All right, so. Okay, so. All right, we're gonna do this differently. We just did like a little kind of like.
Short segment.
We just did a short segment, but we're gonna redo it for one sec because I wanna give you an intro.
Okay.
Based on what you kind of said.
Sure.
Based on what I know about you. So this is Swoosh. Manu Goswami is actually a friend of mine. But that being said,
he's like actually a friend of mine.
Yeah.
He's actually a friend of mine.
Actually a friend of mine.
He's not just a stranger.
No, seriously. He's too humble to say these things, so I feel like I have to say them for him, which is not normal. It is normal, I apologize. But, from what I know about him, and this is generally how I introduce him to people, Swoosh started a company, his first company at the age of 6, and I know that sounds really retarded, but it's kind of true. He started selling hovercrafts. His dad is an engineer, and he said, Manu, which is his real name,
yep.
What do you want to do? And his dad decided that he wanted to let Swoosh experience what engineering was like. So together they built these hovercrafts, mm-hmm. right? And then Swoosh went down and he sold those hovercrafts to his friends, and he told me, these were his words, not mine, that the process of actually selling the hovercrafts became more exciting than the building of it, right? So he knew from a young age that entrepreneurship was gonna be something in his life, but obviously he's young and you can't process things at this time. Fast forwarding a few years later, and about grade 11, when he was 11 years old, he was on some challenge or some competition of some
junior
sort.
Achievement. Yeah.
Junior achievement, right?
Yeah.
And it was an entrepreneurial competition as far as I'm concerned. And what it does is that it measures kids from the ages of 14 to 17, and then it puts you into a group and you have to pretty much create a company. And then it's a competition as to who has the best company, most productive, most efficient, yeah. effective, am I right?
Yep.
And he wasn't even allowed in the competition, but he muscled his way through as an 11-year-old, yeah. which is oddly impressive. And then he ended up placing second amongst 14 to 17 year olds, which is just incredible thinking about what I was doing at the age of 11. And then fast forwarding a few years later to 17, he sat on the board of his high school, I believe,
yeah.
right? As well, what were you doing on the board of your high school? It wasn't on the board of your high school. You were doing
student council.
Student council.
So I was president for our student government.
Yes.
And then I was also debating for team candidate.
You were debating for team candidate
yeah.
this time. Okay,
yeah.
cool. And then fast forwarding to, I think, 18 years old now, this is when it starts to get cool. He developed an app for mental health.
Yeah.
Is that right? It became one of the most popular apps here in Toronto. It wasn't a paid app. It wasn't, I don't think, a paid badge or anything.
It was with CAMH, so it was with the Center for Addiction and Mental Health.
Yeah.
It's called ThoughtSpot. And yeah, free app. Anyone can still download it right now.
Yeah, yeah. Wicked, right? So it yeah. kind of gives you guys an idea as to where mental health locations are in your area, which is really cool and useful. And then fast forwarding a little bit after that, he got into U of T, and during his first summer of U of T, he interned at the Barack Obama administration and NASA.
Yeah, pretty intense.
Yeah. So this is where life starts going up for Swoosh. But which is amazing. And then after second year, I believe that you decided to take a break off school for a little bit because
yep.
you were pursuing different entrepreneurial ventures.
Yep.
He became a youth speaker for the United Nations, which is really cool. He became an international speaker for a ton of marketing conferences, got signed by the NSB, which is one of the most well-respected agencies and bureaus on the face of the planet. And this is all before he's 20 years old. And then just last year, he developed a company, Hand in Glove, with a few NBA players, and they actually sold to Garmin, I think,
yep.
For a really cool market exit because they developed something of deep value.
Mm-hmm.
And now he is building something new. And
yes.
that's kind of the context that I want to start with, and that's actually what I want to start.
Yep.
What are you building? Tell us more about that.
I love that. That literally does my job for me.
Was that okay?
That's perfect.
Okay,
that's
cool.
great. What we're building right now is something called TrueFan, so TrueFan. It's a tool to be able to help any brand or influencer find who their top fans are. So what we do is we take your Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, we link that to our algorithm,
yeah.
and using our app and our web platform, we're able to show you your passionate, influential fans and give you a direct mechanism to reach out to those people. So you can reward them, you can appreciate them, you can use that data and you can retarget ads to them. And one thing that we're gonna be rolling out in a month is the ability also to do competitor analysis. So not only can we show you your analytics, but you could run ads against Tony Robbins or Lewis's house.
Wait, like, you could do that?
Top fans, yeah.
This is new to me. Which he's crazy. He's only half explained this to me.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I'm a maniac when it comes to this stuff. So let me just, okay, cool. Audio's on. That would be really shitty if it wasn't. So anyways, that's amazing. But like, I want everybody to know why. And I stopped bullshitting people a long time ago. I think like you go through a stage when you meet cool people and like you want to tell them how much you think of them, but it comes out wrong, right? It comes out as like verbal diarrhea. You say things that aren't even really true.
Yeah.
Like I'm genuinely excited. Like in my actual body. Like, I have told too many people about True Fan.
I'm pumped, man.
No, because it's actually sick.
I'm really pumped. Like,
it's super dope. But like the reason why
I did the staff. I did the staff.
It wasn't the same. All right. So the reason why I'm excited is because I look at it and I think to myself, like, so wait, who are you rewarding again? Let's slow it down for these guys so they actually understand it. You're rewarding passionate, influential, and
trending fans.
And so what does that mean?
So basically, passionate fans are based on frequency of engagement. So replies, DMs, like if you're tweeting out to a lot of people.
So like a loyal fan.
If you're mentioning them, exactly. People that are engaging with you a lot.
Okay.
And they're engaging with you over a long time.
These are like your number one fans.
Like these are your OGs.
Okay, cool.
Right?
Okay, cool.
Then you have your influential fans. It's like a little, there definitely is like a definite, like, you know, they still have to be passionate about you. They're not random influential fans.
Yeah.
But the priority that our algorithm will make is on their relative following. So if you have like 20,000 followers and you have a person who follows you and engages with you who has like 40,000, we will factor that in and show you your influential fans who have a following themselves.
Interesting.
Right?
Okay.
And
cool.
Then the third type are trending fans. People who just recently, over like the last 2-3 weeks, have started following you, and you can start rewarding them so they continue doing that over a long period of time.
And then it divides them into three different buckets, three different lists, right? So if I'm like, and can we mention some of the people that you're going to be
for sure. So we're going to be working, for example, with basketball players like Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, Kyle Kuzma, Jakob Poeltl, Fred VanVleet, a lot of brands like McDonald's, Under Armour, Nike, Adidas, the UFC, Chelsea Football Club, just to name a few.
Yeah.
But the idea behind it is, in my opinion, anyone can use it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, we're going to be targeting a lot of big brands, especially in the sports industry where I have a pretty good network already because of my past experience. But we're going to try to target film, music, any sort of vertical where there are people who want to build a community and build influence.
Yeah.
Because this is the number one way to do that, is rewarding your community, is appreciating them, and is more importantly using data to be able to have a marketing campaign.
Yeah.
This is just randomly saying, let's put $500 into Facebook ads.
Yeah.
Like I get hit up with NRA ads, right? Like literally, I'm not
an NRA ad.
Like the NRA is basically like the Rifle Association in the United States, which fights for never banning guns.
Yeah.
And I play Call of Duty, I watch Fortnite videos. On Instagram, I'm not even American, and I get hit up with NRA ads.
Yeah, which is like really retarded.
And it shows how vague the Instagram marketing world is, right?
Yeah.
So where we're trying to go towards is a future of marketing, one-to-one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool, wicked. Sorry, I just got minor distracted there, but that's wicked. I didn't actually know that. Okay, cool. Right, so that's amazing, all right? Now, here's what I want to touch on for a second, because like what you're building has like immense value, and you're kind of like spilling it out as we go, which is incredible. And one thing I do want to ask you is like a lot of people, and I asked you this the other day when we were having lunch, me too, experiencing this, right? Like you go through the phases of an idea, right? I think like a lot of people watching this, or a lot of people in my life and your life, everybody has an idea, whether you're an entrepreneur, a creator, a YouTuber, or even somebody who works for somebody,
right. There's
gonna come a point in your life where you probably try to execute on an idea. And like the idea can be as small as like a nice thing to do for somebody, right?
Yeah.
Or it can be as big as like a multinational business.
Yeah.
But I've never in my entire life, dude, encountered an idea wherein I didn't face an obstacle. And I'm not being cheesy here,
right. Because,
oh, you're gonna face, yeah, of course you're gonna face an obstacle, but like, here's what people don't tell you. You're gonna face an obstacle that's gonna be like, actually probably like the perfect reason to quit.
Right.
Like, it is actually going to look like the perfect
reason. Dude, 100%.
Reason. Like, this will not work anymore because of this.
Yeah.
And like, it is so tried and true.
Yeah.
And the result is that 90% of people, more than that probably, like end up faltering, folding, giving up, and deciding not to do it.
Yeah.
I am without question positive that you've encountered these moments.
Oh, 100%.
But like
so
the actual, but like I'm talking about the real moments where it's like,
they're a lot.
This makes no more sense anymore
without
this factor, and you have to find a way to get around it. So talk to me a little bit about A, how you've maneuvered around those, B, your mindset about those, and C, how you would suggest others can do the
same thing. So I mean, there are two big things that kind of came up through the process of building this out in the last 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
One off the bat was, oh God, like,
what if Instagram just shuts down? Like, what if Facebook shuts down? And we were joking about it in 3-4 months ago,
yeah.
But then the whole Cambridge Analytica thing happened. We're like, damn, their API, the way to be able to build code and to be able to take their code and integrate it into our app, is starting to become slimmer and slimmer and slimmer. And by July, no one except for two companies will have access to the Instagram API. Now, we're one of them. Quick preview. One of two companies.
That's incredible.
But at the same time, we didn't know that a couple of months ago. So what we really had to do was, for this business, just like most service businesses to succeed, you have to not only work on positioning in terms of having a very reasonable outlook of where you want to target and who you want to target off the bat, but you have to have really good partnerships. And so we started partnering.
Partnerships like internally or externally?
Both, I would say. Like, okay. Internally, have a great team, have good advisors.
To this question.
But specific to this question, it was all internal. We picked our advisors very selectively, okay. Right? Ryan Holmes from Hootsuite, great person who's mentored us throughout this entire process. Yeah. Like Michael Hyatt, Brandon Steiner, you know, Trevor Booker. We picked people specifically for things that we knew they could help us with,
right.
In case a humongous obstacle like this,
yeah.
Came up,
yeah.
Right? And to show how bad this obstacle was, other companies like SocialRank,
Social Blade, yeah.
All will not have access to the Instagram API come July.
And
some of them don't even have it right now. SocialRank does not do Instagram anymore.
So just time for a second, right. I just want to, because I was asking this on actually the walk here,
yep.
Like about the Instagram API, because I didn't understand it until you started talking about,
yep.
It. What the Instagram API is to his business is it's kind of like, this might be an exaggeration, but it's pretty much the lifeline to it.
It,
right?
Is.
Like,
it really
it's
is.
Actually not an exaggeration. Like, it actually is the lifeline.
It is. It's one of four,
yes.
Right? Because we're doing Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube.
Yeah.
But Instagram by far is the most important platform in the world.
Yeah.
You know, if we don't have Instagram, we still have a business, but we don't have a very profitable business.
Exactly. You
don't
have a business that people would really care about because it's
exactly.
Missing the key thing, right?
Exactly.
So then how did you overcome that?
Partnerships, right?
Okay.
Meeting the right people, predicting ahead. Like when the whole Cambridge Analytica thing happened, I spent a lot of time in Vancouver,
yep.
Which is where Hootsuite is. And I had a lot of meetings with Ryan, and I was talking to him, and I was trying to gauge what Hootsuite was doing to try to get access to it. Who Ryan knew, he put me in touch with a couple of people. So
yep.
we were premeditating everything.
Yeah.
And when things happened, we adapted quickly.
Okay, so that's interesting, right? So were you on the line of, okay, I think that there's two ways to handle like uncertainty, right? You can work on the line of constantly trying to assume things, right?
Yep.
To like make as many assumptions as you can, right? So you're protected.
Yep.
And then things are obviously gonna come up that you can't possibly ever predict,
yep.
Right? So these are things that you were predicting. I'm sure there are things that you weren't predicting as well, but let's talk about this now. Have you failed, and what are your thoughts and meditations on failure? And the reason why I branch it from what we're talking about to this,
yep.
Is because clearly you got over what you needed to get over for this, right? So
yep.
What you're pretty much saying is that there's always a way.
Always a
as
way.
As corny as that sounds.
Yeah, there always is a way, and especially, like, I feel like if you have the will, honestly, to like, go through and like no matter what I'm gonna go through that wall,
yeah.
Like I know it's a weird, again this is even more corny, like I'm gonna get through that wall no matter what, like you will find a solution
and
right?
okay what's the reason now I gotta go back because what's
yeah.
The reason why you were so driven to do that genuinely
literally speaking, dude I like
most people can't capture that because
yeah.
I think like if we were to really boil down the answer it would be hunger, it would be drive, it would be unstoppable,
right.
Insatiable hunger,
right.
But the reality is that like that's one thing to say it, and it's another thing for anybody watching this or listening to this to like genuinely experience it on the
yeah.
Level of their soul, because
yeah.
That's going to be what gets you
yeah.
Through.
Yeah. So the big thing, honestly, for us is the minute this whole thing happened, we wrote down a list of every solution possible. You know, anything from let's email Mark. Let's email Mark fucking Zuckerberg and
yeah.
See if we can get access to,
yeah.
Let's look at Hootsuite, right? They're a social media company. They're well respected in the field. They know people at Instagram.
Yeah.
Maybe we can talk to Ryan about this, right?
Yeah.
And we picked out a bunch of solutions and we acted on every single one.
So
right?
What's your relationship then with your advisors? Because like now I'm thinking and I'm imagining, okay, they're advisors, they're a board of advisors.
Yeah.
I've never had a board of advisors,
yeah.
Right? I've never had a real company, to
mm-hmm.
Tell you the truth. Now, to call on a board of advisor, an advisor member like Ryan, right, to help you out with this, and I know he's the one who did, and
yep.
I don't know, is that sensitive?
Yeah, no, no.
Okay, so I know he's the one who did, which is wonderful, but
yeah.
To ask him to do such a grand favor.
Yeah.
Because it feels like a grand favor.
It isn't really, though. I mean,
okay.
In the sense of, like, the thing about any person is you want to be able to help them in return as well. So the
yeah.
Thing about Ryan, for example, is he's definitely been more helpful than I have been helpful to him. He
yeah.
Is an incredible person. He is being very open to allowing me to come and speak at Hootsuite. Right. He has allowed us to host a LinkedIn meetup there in Vancouver.
Right.
But in return, also one thing I'm doing is I'm giving up a lot of my time for his nonprofit. He started a nonprofit called League of Innovators. He has me on the board with Michelle Romanoff, John Ruffalo, Manny Pata, all these great people. It's a great opportunity for me, but at the end of the day, I'm also spending a lot of my own time connecting him with people, connecting the people running that nonprofit with different areas that they could host meetups, speaking at a couple of them, promoting it on LinkedIn. So I'm giving in a lot in the relationship too. And with any advisor, it's all about following up, and it's about understanding that they're not in it just for money. They're in it to have a relationship with you.
I love
They're partners in your company. They're not people that are separate who are just looking for the exit. They're people who want to come along this journey with you. And if you keep them as an integral part of it, and you update them, you ask them for help, and you give help in return beyond just, you know, giving them a dividend or helping them out with their advisor agreement or getting them to sign a particular document, but you actually help them with their company, with their business, with what they want to do, it can go a long way.
Okay, so now let's talk about something that you just said that was really beautiful. I think that was an insight into how Swoosh views relationships, right? Like, and you have some of the most influential, powerful relationships I've ever met, especially as you're 20 or 21.
21.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So you're 21, and still, right? It's like, it's grounding, right? Here I am thinking I've interviewed some cool people, and I have, and I look at you, and I'm like, wow, you're doing amazing, and I would love to know, even for myself, how do you genuinely view relationships, man? Mm-hmm. Because like you treat it, and I love that attitude that you just kind of portrayed. A lot of people walk into relationships with people of influence, right?
Yeah,
and they're scared. They're scared, right? They're scared to ask for things. They're constantly heart beating, and I know sometimes you can't control that. But what ends up happening through that process is they treat the person who's of influence like there's some god or goddess.
Yeah.
And that's cool, and they can appreciate that. It's just a challenge with my experience is that it's really difficult to develop anything meaningful from that energy. So how do you view relationships, and how have you been able to kind of rise above that stature of before all this, before you were Swoosh and everybody knew about you, to still look people in the eye who are people of influence and say, you know what, no, here's my idea, and like I respect it, and I want you to help, but I'm not so gung-ho that I'm going to do anything in the world for
sure.
It. Like you have self-respect and self-dignity to
Yeah.
Right? So talk on that.
The first thing is to not approach people just when you need help. It's to start very, like, much earlier.
Yeah.
Like, my network was built up from a lot of, like, interviewing people, just like what you do. Yeah. I did that with articles on LinkedIn called Unconventional.
Yeah, I remember
I started that 2 years ago, literally. It's crazy how time flies. I mean, I interviewed people when I had nothing that I wanted to ask them. I just wanted to, A, get their story. And I also just wanted to talk to them. Like, I literally just wanted to pick their mind, ask them a couple of questions, have a good relationship with them, and hopefully in the process of that call, I can also tell them my story and tell them what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I had no, like, I need you also, by the way, to, like, do this or X and Y and Z. The thing about interviewing people, too, is there are a lot of people I interviewed that, like, I'm still in touch with, but I have never asked them for anything, and I actually don't think I ever will.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't think I will.
Yeah.
And here's the reason why. The only time that I think a network beyond helping yourself is important is it comes to helping other people. The number one thing I like about having a big network is now, maybe I don't use that network for myself, but imagine you needed an intro to someone, I can literally just set you up with somebody.
Yeah.
And in the process, I'm not only helping you, but I'm helping someone else and I'm helping myself.
Hello.
How are you?
Great.
Are we
There's an event thing? Here in a minute.
Cool.
In a few minutes.
Absolutely. Cool.
Thank you. Guys
Thank
with
you
the other event.
Pardon me?
Are you guys wrapping up in a couple minutes?
Yeah, we'll be wrapping up in a couple
minutes. Okay, I'll be back in 10.
Okay, thank you. When does the actual event start, if you don't mind me asking?
It's 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock?
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much. We have enough time.
Thank you.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So you were talking about relationships and how you can ultimately develop the will to have the confidence to ask people something.
Yes.
So where does that come from? Like, that comes from an internal confidence.
It comes from an internal confidence, and it also comes from a place of just knowing that, like, you're not doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people, especially in Canada, like, public figures here don't tend to have a big following. We don't have a Gary Vaynerchuk or Tony Robbins in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's really cool about that then is a lot of the people here who are, like, top-notch business leaders, like, if anything, they want to hear from you, like, especially if you're young and you have a drive, like, a lot of them are trying to look for that younger population to attract because they want to build their brand.
Wonderful.
Right? So I think it's a great opportunity for you to realize, too, that you're not doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
If anything, like, asking for an interview and, like, asking to interview someone, in my opinion, is better than asking them for a coffee for 15 to 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Because a coffee for 15, 20 minutes is taking time away from them, while an interview is taking time away from them but providing them something directly in
return. Exactly. Even if it's small. And like, I just want to, because I know that they're going to be coming in soon, I want to start getting to like the big stuff.
Sure.
Right? So we've actually hit a few of them too, which I'm really happy about. And one of the bigger things I want to talk to you about, man, is like, here you are and you're 21. And I keep on harping on your age.
Yeah.
Not for a reason to say, oh, you're only 21.
Yeah.
To say like, you're 21.
I know, I'm fucking old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, what I'm getting at is that your model of the world and how you see the world is probably so uniquely different from the way that somebody who also is 21 might see the world, or who is 18 or 17 or however old, or 25 even, right? Stretching along. And I'm curious, like just genuinely, this is a pretty general question, but how do you genuinely like look at the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can imagine that through your eyes, it's ripe with opportunity, it's ripe with chances and risk-taking, and how do you evaluate those things versus somebody who might not necessarily evaluate those things? Because I think a lot of the way you see the world now is born out of the things that have happened to you,
right.
Things that have happened for you and with you, right?
Right?
And the confidence you build.
Yeah.
So how has that foundation affected the way you see the world right now?
Everything. So, I mean, when I was about 16 years old, I remember, this is something vivid I remember. I was on YouTube and I watched a great Steve Jobs video. And this is like one of the ones that I kind of got goosebumps over.
I think I know the one you're about to say. I think I know, and it's one of my favorite ones.
There's like a particular quote that he says, and I'm obviously paraphrasing here.
I remember it.
But he was like, everything that you see around this world was made by people who were no smarter than you were. And once you think about that, it'll change your world forever, because you can change this world, you can build things that other people use, you can mold it, and you can make it how you want it to be.
Right.
As opposed to just living in the system and being taught that you shouldn't bump against the walls, you can actually do something that actually impacts the entire world around you, at least in your microcosm, right?
Yeah.
At least in your world.
Yeah.
That doesn't be an international thing.
That's
it could be in your community, in your household to start off with. So that is the way I view everything now.
And
like, I view everything. It's very ripe with opportunities. There's so many fun things to do. There's so many fun people to meet. But at the same time too, I'm also viewing it as like a foundation, in the sense of every step I take is a step to the grander vision.
Right.
And maybe I never get to the grander vision, but I'm very happy and content with just the process of getting there.
What is the grander vision?
The grander vision is running for office and having a strong personal brand. That is the goal, man. That is the goal, and it's very naive, and I don't tell people that a lot. And
can I put that in here?
100%, you can put it in there. But
cool.
I maybe there's some people who listen to this right now and are like, all right, that's super naive. Like, this guy wants to be the PM. This guy wants to be a world leader. Like, what does that even mean?
I don't think it's so naive, but maybe
that's
because of the way I see the world, too, I guess.
Well, maybe also the way a lot of people see the world, right?
Yeah.
And they aren't as optimistic as I am, maybe.
Yeah.
But my thing, too, is I have a really good plan behind it, right? Like, I know that from now until a certain age, I want to build my repertoire when it comes to my skills, to sell things, to be persuasive, to build a business, to have something from scratch and make it something big that people use.
Yeah.
I also know that in the latter part of my 20s, I want to go into more of my personal brand, right?
Yeah.
I want to speak more. I want to do TV, books, whatever. Like, I want to cultivate a strong following, not of people who like just like me, but people who understand my worldview and are willing to fit into it as well.
Yes.
Right? And then that's hopefully going to be the plan and the blueprint for how one day I can run for office and people won't be like, swish who? Like, they'll actually be like, oh, I know this
because,
kid.
Yeah, because you see multiple steps online.
Yeah.
So.
And what's happy, and this is something I had like a thought yesterday, but what's so cool is I see videos from me when I'm 18 and 19 and 20, and I'm so excited for when I'm 30 and 35 and 40, and people are like voting for me, hopefully.
Yeah.
And they look back and they're like, this is the kid when he was 20.
And no prime ministers have that in the face
you know,
of like,
No one. Like, I'm so excited, dude.
Yeah.
If I ever do run for office, it would be funny for global news or whatever to telecast one of my TEDx talks and be like, this was with him when he was 18.
Exactly,
you know?
Which is just outstanding, right?
It'd be funny.
And by the way, I forgot to mention that TEDx speaker, too.
Yeah.
okay, cool. So this might seem a little bit right-wing, but I promise we're going to come back full circle. And this is the whole ball of wax.
Mm-hmm.
This show is called Life Like That, and the reason why I
love that name.
Thank
by
you.
The way.
And I kept on finding people who are young entrepreneurs, or young creators. We surround ourselves with quite a bit of those.
Yeah, quite a lot.
And you know, you can sense, I think, dude, when you're around somebody and they're not happy.
Yeah.
And it's challenging, right?
Yeah.
Because like I think that when you're not happy and you're not realizing that this whole thing, this what you're doing, this is for what I think. The pursuit of happiness. I don't think that this is the pursuit of success.
No,
like it might look like that, but I genuinely think like this is making you fulfilled and
100%,
happy.
100%,
I think a lot of people miss that.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of people miss like this is really about happiness, and I think this is gonna cut in a second, but that's fine. I'm watching it. So
cool.
This is genuinely about happiness.
Right.
All right. And you probably encounter more entrepreneurs and creators and things of this nature that are pursuing these similar routes as you, who are doing it, but inside you can tell that they're frustrated and they're probably not that happy. What advice would you be willing to give as to how to navigate what this is really all for? Because I think a lot of people end up doing these sorts of things for reasons that aren't necessarily aligned with what's going to make them happy. And that might sound esoteric and cheesy, but I think that, man, at the end of the day, it's a short life and we're not going to remember all of it, but we're going to remember a few moments.
For sure.
And either those moments are going to make us immensely happy and proud of ourselves and feel joyful and loving feelings, or we're going to realize that we danced and we walked to another man's music and to another man's song. And you developed a beautiful language for yourself, so I'd love for you to share that. So thoughts on general... Well, actually, let me ask you this. Are you happy?
Very happy.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. That being said, though, the answer that I would give to people that are feeling frustrated internally, it doesn't mean that, like, here's a quick thing, right? Especially with something like entrepreneurship where there's no rules to the game, per se.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, like, don't do anything illegal, but, like, there isn't really, like, a playbook that you can follow. It's not like being a doctor where you're given the playbook of, like, you go from here to med school to doing residency to...
And if there was, more people would probably be more successful entrepreneurs.
Agreed. So... Yeah. I think the big thing is it's very easy to lose yourself in the process, not know what you're doing this for, and more importantly, I personally think that there are moments where there will be times when you're frustrated, but it's on a spectrum, right? Like, you know, today when you came in before the interview, you're like, how are you doing? I was tired, you know, and I get tired, and I'm a human being, right? Like, I'm going to get frustrated sometimes, I'm going to get angry, I'm going to be super happy sometimes, and sometimes I'll just be in the middle.
Yeah.
But, like, at the end of the day, I think the reason why I'm happier than most entrepreneurs is because A, I don't set unrealistic expectations for myself.
Okay.
It seems like every kid these days just wants to have like a $1 billion exit and wants to be like a Mark Zuckerberg, and they're putting so much pressure in their 20s, 21, 22, 23, as opposed to just working towards something bigger, building the foundation, maybe building another company after, build another one after, build a good network around you, and then maybe work towards that goal if you even want it in the first place.
So, like, give me an example of an expectation that you would set for yourself.
An expectation I have for myself.
Like a real one, like right now.
Right now, with TrueFan, I'm only doing this because I want to meet cool people and I want to help them connect to their fans, because I'm a fan to many people.
I am
literally doing this because I was on the other side of this relationship. I ate it. I'm already doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Why I feel fulfilled.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I said realistic, like, I have an honest approach to the company. I'm not like, oh, we're going to sell it in a year. Maybe we will. Hopefully we will. Who knows if we will.
Yeah.
But the benefit of doing this wasn't even the money as much as it's like, holy shit, I get to work with some of the coolest people in the world, some of the biggest brands, and I help them doing something that literally could help me.
Yeah.
Like, I wish that Kobe had this tool 4 or 5 years ago.
No, we're talking about Kobe right now.
Bro, he would have reached out to me.
Yeah.
Like, using this app, he would have been like, who is Manu Goswami in Calgary, Canada, and you would have clicked and given me something amazing.
So that's what makes me so happy.
Beyond that, the second thing I think very important for happiness is not only having like realistic expectations, but it's realizing and asking yourself very clearly, are you doing this because it is a popular thing to do now? Or are you genuinely doing this because you have a problem that you want to solve and you think you have a solution to it?
How do you decipher that? How do you know?
I know that there's a problem that I'm very passionate about, and I know that no matter what, my mind is programmed to think of solutions and to act on it.
Right.
The problem is either people are doing things where they invent the problem, or they're not even that passionate about the problem and they're only doing it because everybody around them is doing it, i.e. a lot of people in blockchain, in my opinion. Or B, they have a great problem, they're passionate about it, but their mind isn't programmed yet to come up with a solution and act on it.
Cool.
And they're just dreaming of solutions and they're planning their ideas out, but they're not doing anything.
That's fascinating.
Right? So that's what's interesting to me, I think, is maybe this just isn't for you yet.
Yeah.
I believe anyone can be an entrepreneur. I really do.
I agree.
But I don't think it's something you can just wake up the next day and say you're running a company. Like, I don't think people can get into it like that. I think you really have to go through either a shit ton of time failing, which is what I did, or you have to go and like talk to a bunch of people, interview them, get to know what the process is like, and then start something. And you probably will fail, but at least you have like an expectation of what real entrepreneurship looks like.
Yeah, and I love the fact that you said that, man, because like from the Tony world that I come from, that Tony Robbins world, he has this beautiful understanding of life where he says, that he shared with us, that like people set and they make really unrealistic rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's your rule to be happy? And for some people, their rule to be happy is I need to have a $1 billion company.
Yeah.
I need to have the hottest person as my spouse or whoever.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, right? Because like they don't have any of that right now, and chances are they
never. And look, I'm working through. There's a really good book called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. I'm 70 pages in. I started reading it. I'm 70 pages in. It's like a 240-page book. I'm loving it. I don't read a lot of books. This is like the first book
that's
on
actually my next question.
Phone.
Or not.
Mate, this book is unreal. And the reason it's so unreal is because I felt like it was talking to me.
Yeah.
Like, it was telling me, like, there is no real idea of what happiness is. Like, there is no ideal lifestyle that you can pursue. You will always have problems. But the way to get happiness is by making your problems better. It's like, it's a really big problem if you're homeless, but it's still a problem if you're rich and you always have to be concerned about where your money's going
towards,
right? But being rich just has better problems than being poor. But
that's
you still always will have problems, right?
Okay, so you know what, going off that book thing, because I want to start tailoring off now, because I want to be respectful of these guys because they're having a thing, and this is where it's going to start to get
They're having a chess competition.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's neat.
Yeah.
okay, cool. So you once recommended to me to, I called him, it was about a year and a half ago when we kind of first met each other,
yeah.
a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Pretty crazy, right?
And I was, it is crazy.
Yeah.
and I was thinking to myself, I said, dude, like, I really want to become a speaker, something you probably hear every single day.
Yeah.
Still something I want to do, but I've allowed myself to mature and give myself time. I'm proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
But what Swish recommended to me was fascinating, and I never forgot it, and still to this day, I actually took the advice. It lasted longer than 2 weeks. He put me on a 2-week constraint, so to say. He said, look, I love the fact that you're always listening to books, and you're reading books, and you're listening to podcasts,
mm-hmm.
and you're watching YouTube videos, and you're going to conferences, but just fucking stop.
Yeah.
Like stop all of it. You recommended me to stop everything.
Yeah.
And I did.
Yeah.
Why'd you recommend that?
Literally because I feel like after a while, that stuff becomes A, repetitive, and B, it starts not allowing you to become who you are. You start emulating other people. There's a huge problem with Gary Vee fans as well. Like the vast majority of young Gary Vee fans are running an agency but don't even know what that means from a legal structure. A lot of them are trying to become speakers without even ever built a business before.
Yeah.
Like, that's the issue I have. Like, look, they're hustling, they're moving, it's awesome, but like, you know, you still have to work for what you deserve and what you earn, right?
Yes.
And I think...
One second. Hey, how are
you? Kicking you guys up.
All right. Sounds good, mate.
Is there another room nearby that we can finish filming this?
All right, so we had to switch locations because, well, they had some chess competition going on in the other one, so this is where we are.
All right, you ready to rock?
Yeah.
Okay, so you were talking about, I was asking you about books
yes.
and podcasts and why you recommended for me to put that down
yeah.
for 2 weeks, and I did. I saw the benefit, but like the amount of friends that I have, dude, that read every single day.
Sure.
And like, it's amazing
sure.
and it sounds good.
Yeah.
But dude, like at the end of the day, man, that advice really is what began the process of me starting to understand what it meant to be an original.
Yeah. So
something I've never forgotten.
Look, I'm not against people who read every day or whatever. Like, it's great.
Yeah.
The only problem I have is people who only just do that. Right?
Okay.
So, and it's very, like, it's something that's easy to fall into. It's a trap.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much, like, content, courses, books, podcasts, audiobooks,
everything.
Whatever, right?
Yeah.
I think people fall into the habit of thinking that while reading it, they're doing work.
Yeah.
When in actuality, the best thing you can do is find a mix where you're running something and you're just taking in knowledge that supplements your knowledge.
Okay.
Right? Like, because the vast majority of things you will learn in life, in my opinion, will come from doing.
Yes.
It'll come from setting up a business, learning how to register it, learning how to make a team,
mm-hmm.
learning how to kick advisor agreements, learning how to raise money.
Yeah.
You can learn it all by courses.
Yeah,
that's from somebody else's point of view, not your own.
Yes, okay, very interesting. So then, like, the question that I really wanted to understand then, because what you're saying is that it's different for everybody, which
yeah.
I totally love and respect. So, what do you feel, Swoosh, that it takes to be an original? And the reason why I ask you that question is because I believe that you are one. That's
right.
Number one.
Right.
Number two, I believe that you surround yourself with a lot of people who are
a lot
very,
of originals.
Very original.
Yeah.
Elliot,
yeah.
by definition, original.
Very original.
Like,
yeah.
even, like, super, I love that, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never even met him, right?
Yeah.
People are attracted to originals, not just like physically, but like they have this energy about them that's just like, let's go, right?
Yeah.
That person's thinking differently.
Yeah.
And what do you think it takes to be an original? I'm not sure if there's a definitive answer.
I don't know. I mean, definitely characteristics of my personality will mix with other people. So
yeah.
like, and that's cool. Like sometimes, occasionally when I'm speaking on stage, a person will come up and be like, you're very much like Gary Vee, right?
Yeah,
like, I'm
sure.
fine with that. Like, that's
yeah.
cool. I'm just hoping that my message and what I believe in
will sometimes differ from what he believes in,
okay.
will differ from what Elliot believes in, will differ from what you believe in,
yeah.
but I know what's right in my heart, and I just want to convey it.
Okay.
So I think it really comes down to, like, yes, taking knowledge from other people, but please think for yourself on issues and come up with your own idea for it.
Wonderful.
And don't impose it, but share your ideas and be
yeah.
open to having something that you think a vast majority of people might disagree with you on,
yeah.
but you actually believe in it, but you're willing to also change your mind in case somebody
okay.
comes up and changes your opinion on it.
And pretty much just, and then I wasn't going to ask this, but I have to now because you said you just know in your heart what's right.
Yeah.
What would you say, and this might actually be the most important question that I almost never ask, so
right.
I'm about to glad that I'm very glad I'm about to ask it, which is, what would you say has guided your decisions? Because, like, I think that if there was something, and this is super general,
right.
but if there was something that somebody was going to say was going to base up your life, and if
yeah.
you could, I think your life is, like, really, in a lot of ways, a tally up of all of the decisions that you made, right?
Everything.
And what would you say is the navigation system that you use to make decisions? What,
yeah.
what do you use? Like, for me, it is my heart.
Yeah.
Like that's what it is. It's
right.
like intuitive spirit, soul, whatever you want
yeah.
to call it. What's it for you, generally?
There's an element of the heart, of course, in terms of what I want to do, what is fun, what is exciting, what I'm really interested in
yeah.
will naturally guide me.
Yeah.
There's also an element of the mind, which is practically, like, can I afford to spend time on this? Can this make money for me? Can I sustain myself off it? What's good for my family? What's good for my mother in particular,
yeah.
who I love so much? So I think it's a mix between both, but I think the core element also is I'll just sometimes do shit because eventually I feel like it makes me a better human being.
Right.
Like I learned from something from it, or I'm meeting someone really cool from it, or I'm doing something philanthropic just to give back,
okay.
and not expect anything
cool.
in return.
Right? I dig that.
So I think it's a mix between those three.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And now we're about to kind of roll into rapid fire.
Oh,
and
shit.
It's like, it's a semi kind of rapid fire.
All right,
truth.
Can we get
like
a little more in front?
Well, you know what? It's like, you know what? It actually, you can show there. Yeah, for
I'm
sure.
I'm nervous, man.
I'm actually going to read them off because it's pretty
right.
quick, but it's not that much of a rapid fire.
Okay.
Okay, looking where, okay, cool. What purchase for under $50 have you or would you make that would considerably change the quality of your life?
Ooh, what purchase under $50? Oh, 100% know this one.
Okay.
The iPhone battery pack.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
I run out
okay.
of battery all the
okay,
time.
Okay, cool.
All right.
I
need
that
battery pack.
I like that answer. Okay,
yeah.
cool. Okay, you know what? Let me ask you this one. Is there something that less than five people know about you? What's something that less than five people know about you?
There is something that less than five people know about you.
What is it?
Oh, I mean, then less than five people wouldn't know.
Yeah. Something that you'd be willing to share?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I think the thing about less than five people is I overthink a lot of things in life. A lot of people think I'm very calculated with how I make decisions, but the people who really know me know that, like, I'm sometimes obsessive about forgetting things. I'm obsessive about decisions that I've made, and I'm very much obsessive about it. Anytime I have a regret, I feel terrible about it. It, like, bites me up inside.
Okay.
And I get angry and frustrated and moody because of that.
How do you deal with that?
Time, like I just let things
just
pass,
let
and then I continue.
And you're able to move on.
Yeah,
okay.
It's hard to give an actual answer to that because it's very subjective on
yeah.
what the regret or what the thing I forgot was. But normally, like I either emulate my previous environment if I forgot something to see, like oh, will it make
yeah.
me remember it again?
Yeah.
Like I literally will tell my friends, like my close friends, to be like, can you just go back like 3 minutes and say what you were telling me again? And they will do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so then, you know, I wasn't like, now I want to build up that for just a second, which is when you do feel like that stuff biting you inside,
yeah.
everybody feels that.
Yeah.
It's not just you.
Yeah.
I feel that. Everybody feels
yeah.
that. How do you keep on doing other things? Like sometimes that consumes.
Dude, it's
you,
hard,
man.
It takes
my
entire day off, you know,
yeah,
like,
serious,
you know, dude, but like,
seriously.
I think distract yourself again. So I normally press the reset button. I'll watch like a YouTube video. I'll go out and play basketball. I'll
okay.
run. I'll just do something to put my mind off everything,
okay.
and then I'll come back to the palette fresh.
I can dig that.
Yeah.
Let's see some other cool rapid fire questions real quick. Somebody walking through? No, we should be good. Okay, I actually took this one off Lewis House, and I'm going to read it verbatim because I want to get it right, which is, if right now 7 billion people put on headphones and are listening to this live,
cool.
and you had a moment to say whatever you want,
yep.
and they've all put on their headphones and they could all understand English,
yep.
they've been introduced to who you are, and you have one opportunity to get a message across to the world,
yep.
what would you say?
Download True Fan. I'm kidding.
I love that.
No, I'm kidding. On a more serious note.
Not even a front face of guys.
That was a straight up plug.
Yeah.
No, on a more serious note, I'd probably just say,
right now, whatever is happening around us, there's a lot of noise. There are a lot of people trying to get your attention. Please understand that you have so much autonomy over your life, more than you even sometimes think, about the decisions you make every day, the people you associate with, the jobs that you take on, the career path you're on. Nothing is concrete. And I understand that there are people out there that have to pay off like university bills, they have to pay off like mortgages and stuff like that. Like, but I think the big thing is, in the world we live in, it is so open and free for people to come up with a side hustle. And that, I feel like, will be what this next decade will be known as, especially within the workplace, is people who come in and from like 9 to 5, they might be working on a main job.
Yeah.
But past that, they're going to be working on a passion project. And that passion project hopefully will become big to the point they can go into it full time. So I like, don't limit yourself.
I like that. Last two questions. This is the Nick Singh signature question. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
It starts with a preface question. It's super small, which is... What? Give me a couple of people that you look up to.
Okay, my brother, Vinu. Elon Musk.
Okay, so Vinu, Elon Musk, and Steve Jobs. Yep. Okay, and let's throw somebody else in the mix there. Let's put like an artist or an NBA player in the mix.
Sure, LeBron James.
Okay, cool. All right, so we have Vinu, right? Your brother, LeBron James.
Yep. Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs and Elon Musk. Okay, totally theoretical situation. Yeah. This would never happen, right?
Sure.
Like a 0.0% chance of this happening. But for some reason, theoretically, they're all on stage right now.
Okay. Cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're all on stage. So you have Vinu, Steve Jobs, LeBron James, and Elon Musk.
Yeah.
And Steve Jobs is speaking.
Right.
And he's speaking on behalf of everybody, and you're in the audience.
Right.
And for contextual sake, they don't know who you are.
Right.
Okay. And all of a sudden, they're speaking, and then boom!
Right.
The lights go out.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's no more lights.
Right.
And a spotlight appears, and everybody's fucking confused, but the speakers seem to know what's going on.
Right.
It's one of those situations.
Right.
Right. And then lands on you.
Right.
Okay? And they say, "Hey, sir, can you come up to the stage, please?" And once again, they don't know who you are.
Right.
Okay. And they say, "Oh, what's your name?" And you go, "It's Manu Goswami."
Yeah.
And they say, "Okay, great. Well, here's a mic, right?" And they give you a microphone, and they say, "You know, Manu, between the four of us here on stage, we have Vinu, as you know, we have LeBron James, Elon Musk, myself, Steve Jobs. We're so confident in what we can do as individuals in the world. That we're actually so confident we can beat anybody in anything.
Right.
In fact, this is how confident we are. We have $100 million right now, cash sitting in an escrow account.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And all you have to do is beat us at a challenge.
Right.
Okay. Now, if you win this challenge, you get the $100 million.
Right.
If we win, you don't owe us anything. We just get the satisfaction of knowing that we beat.
Right.
You. Okay.
Right.
And they hand you the microphone, and they say, "What's the challenge going to be?"
Yeah. Dance.
I should have put a dancer on stage.
I will literally crush them in a dance competition.
I should have put a dancer on stage. I should have put a dancer on stage. Okay, cool.
All right. Let me dig a level deeper because I always get that answer.
Sure.
I'll get like
a dancer pops out.
A dancer just like appears out of fucking nowhere, right?
Yeah. No. But like people tell me pull-ups or swimming or the competition or something.
I cannot.
So So there's always those answers.
Right.
But give me the answer that would genuinely kind of make you a little bit nervous because like chances are.
Cool.
Let's rock it. So. Something that you would feel a little bit nervous inside answering, or nervous inside challenging them on, so to speak, what would it be? Because you could do the dancing one, of course.
I think, theoretically, I'm going to put back another clause in here. If there was a quiz to determine how kind and altruistic someone was, I would challenge them on that.
Interesting. Okay, cool. All right.
And I think I would.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's fair. I like that.
Yeah.
Last question, are there any entrepreneurs that you're currently looking up to right now that you would suggest?
So many, man. But like, I think the two off the bat, Akash Nigam is someone who I've been following recently on Instagram. He runs Genies, which just raised an absurd amount of money from like the chain smokers, Shawn Mendes. They're valued at $100 million right now. They're the competitor to Bitmoji. So he's someone to look out to. I think he's 23, 24, something very young. And then, yeah, I probably put in like, actually, no, this is a great one. For any Canadians, Harley Finkelstein.
Who?
Harley Finkelstein.
What does she do?
He's a CEO of Shopify. So
interesting.
His talks
are,
he's probably the best keynote speaker I've ever seen, past Gary. And his mind is incredible. And he's been an entrepreneur for so long. Like, he started like a uniform company for nurses because he thought nurses needed to dress up like more fashionably. And like, it absolutely failed, but he's willing to be very open and talk about that.
Cool.
And he's in Ottawa as well, so he's a Canadian hero.
Do you have any questions for me?
Yeah, man. The big one is, with this podcast, what is the single biggest takeaway you've taken from all the people you've interviewed?
Far.
Boom. Got it.
That was a good one.
Thank you.
It would be, it actually wouldn't be from like one of the biggest people that I've interviewed.
Right.
It was somebody that you don't know this, but you actually connected with me, or actually made me aware of in the first place. It was John Henry.
Oh, cool. John. Yeah. That's amazing. What
have you ever met him in person?
I've met him once at a conference, but I've literally like interacted with him so much over social media.
He's such a dope dude, man.
He is.
I really like him.
It's incredible.
He told me something once, and it was probably the most valuable thing I've ever gotten told to me, maybe because the time was really timely, I should say. But I asked him a really specific question, and he told me something that I never forgot. He said, "Nick, just by the way you ask a question, you probably know the answer." And I said, "Fuck." I did.
Because you were expecting something.
Yeah, I did. And he goes, "I'm going to tell you something that I think is going to hopefully affect your life in a positive way. And I'm going to tell you, you need to start understanding what it means to nurture your gut."
Right.
And it was like that advice was like the same energy and essence of the advice that you gave me, which was to stop listening to a ton of people.
Right.
And just drown all that stuff out and understand what's going on here and be willing to like fall on your own sword if you make a mistake. But I'll never forget that after that day, like the amount of times that I A, repeated that advice, but B, like simultaneously used it was just unbelievable. And it was like the key to a long question that I had was, how do you get confidence?
Yeah.
I think the only way to get confidence is to just trust yourself and to try things. And it's scary as fuck at first, but when you finish up, you're good.
And you'll grow.
And last thing, do you have any questions that you wish that I asked you?
Man. Yeah, for sure. There's one that has been bothering me a lot. There's a lot of people who interview me. They never ask me what the backstory of Swish was. Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean? Oh, my shit. Oh, the backstory of Swish. Okay, cool. All right. Yeah. Now is your time.
This guy thought it was like the background of me.
No, I was just like, bro, did you not listen to like
the, like the first 5 minutes?
What the fuck was that? No. Okay. The backstory of Swish.
So the name Swish kind of came. My full name is Swirochish. So, I don't know, did you know that?
I never knew how to pronounce it, but yeah, I knew that that's what it was.
But my nickname was given to me in grade 8 because I was at the Calgary Science School. I was the starting point guard at the Calgary Science School, so like, I was pretty shit.
The Calgary Science School?
Science School, dude. Yeah. Every time we used to have,
build so much context.
We used to have CSS on our like shirts, and I used to be like, whenever I was outside, I'm like, oh, that's a Calgary sports school.
That's a Calgary sports school. Yeah.
But no, my coach, Mr. McWilliam, who I love so much, he's an awesome person. He couldn't pronounce my name, so he just gave me the nickname Swish. Yeah. Like the first two letters, last three letters of my name, combined it, and then I carried on with that the entire time.
Just stuck.
Everywhere people ask me, I'm like, my name's Swish.
Okay, cool, man.
Yeah.
I like that, bro. Well, dude, thank you for doing this, man. Like, genuinely, I really appreciate this.
No worries,
this is super cool of you.
Appreciate it.
Peace, guys. I'm gonna plug True Fan, and I'm gonna put some stuff below. Do you want beta users or no?
I mean, if you're interested, if you have a brand, if you're a person that might be interested in using the tool, just hit Nick up, hit me up, and I'm willing to chat with anyone.
Cool. All right. Peace. Killed that, man.
That's amazing.
Thank you, brother.
Dude. I loved it.
Thank you, man. All right. Did it live up to his name? Did Manu Goswami hold the torch? And did he keep it lit? I don't know if that's a saying, but we're going to pretend it is. Anyways, did you enjoy the show? Seriously. And if you did, tell me what you learned, because this is where it gets interesting for me. This is where, like, I'm really trying to ask him great questions, mainly because I'm actually paying so much conscious attention to what I'm asking him, and I'm way more prepared walking into these interviews. So now it's game time for me, and I love that. It was exciting for me to do that because I hadn't gotten a chance to do it in a really long time. So tell me what you thought. Tell me what questions really hit home. Tell me what you felt, and tell me most importantly what you learned, because genuinely I think that this interview is going to impact a lot of young people. I'm starting to find that as I grow up, it's always the younger people that I'm actually most impacted by. You know, you have your grand mentors who have done so much, but they're oftentimes 20 or 30 years ahead of you. And as much as they want to be, it's just they're challenged by one thing, is that they're not as relevant as somebody who's super close to you in age. So while somebody super close to you in age may not have the status, the repertoire, the acumen, the success that the person, 20-year-old, their senior has, what they do have is relevance. And I will never, ever again undervalue the presence of relevance. And that is exactly what Manu has. He has single-handedly helped me do so many things in my life just because it makes sense when I hear him do it and when I hear him say it and I watch him do it, it's like, why aren't I doing that? Why aren't I able to, why am I pretending like I can't do that? So tell me, if there's something specifically throughout the interview, drop it in the comments below that you learned and you want to start doing, strictly because there's no reason not to.
There's no reason why you can't and he can. There's no reason why you shouldn't. There's no reason why you won't. And I would love to hear exactly what that is. And as always, if you guys enjoy the show, and please, only if you enjoy it, like, subscribe, rate the show. I would love that. It really does help more than you guys know. So thank you guys for watching. I'll be back with you guys next Thursday on a more regular posting period. But in the meantime, it's all love, and I will talk to you guys soon. Enjoy the interview. Take care. Did I just say enjoy the interview? Take care. This is how you know I'm tripping. It's been a long day. Have a great day. I'll see you next Thursday. Wow. Love you guys. Wow. That was embarrassing. Okay, let's go.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.